T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is 7:16 now on this Wednesday morning. It's supposed to turn cool by the weekend. We can only hope. Right now, it's not too bad outside, 76, which is supposed to be the forecast high on Saturday. And then Sunday was supposed to be cooler, but it's creeping up more toward 80. Now, we're talking about the president, the impeachment inquiry that's going on in Congress. The president has used the phrase deep state. Others have as well. David Priest joins us now, chief operating officer of the Lawfare Institute, a former intelligence officer, manager, and briefer at the CIA. His new book is How to Get Rid of a President, History's Guides to Removing Unpopular, Unable, or Unfit Chief Executives. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Tommy. Good to be on with you again.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking the time. Is there a deep state?
You know what? There is a deep state in one sense, and it's not the sense everyone's talking about, which is there are millions of federal government employees, many of them in the Washington, D.C. area, but many more of them outside of Washington, D.C., all around the country, who have taken an oath to preserve and defend the Constitution and to do the work of the people and get paid generally less than private sector salaries for doing so. That is what I guess the deep state is. It's a big bureaucracy with lots of people working in Veterans Affairs to take care of our people who have fought and been injured for us in wars. Things like the Department of Social Security to hand out Social Security checks. Yeah, so there's a deep state in the sense of government doing its job, in the sense of a conspiracy of people trying to line up and undermine elected leaders. I certainly never saw it. I wasn't in the government for very long, but when I was there, everybody was doing their job to try to just get information up the line to the decision makers so they could make better decisions, whether they agreed with them or not. It wasn't really much of a deep state. It was more of a bureaucracy doing its job.
James Comey, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, we're going to hear a lot about them, as if we haven't heard enough before. are those anomalies, and are people automatically... I don't mean to introduce another Latin phrase into this, but the whole postdoc ergo propter hoc thing, well, they are, so everybody else must be?
Well, I think the idea is that you see people's behavior through your own lenses. That is, let's use Jim Comey as an example. There are still people in the Hillary Clinton campaign from 2016 who are very angry at Jim Comey because Jim Comey went out publicly and said right before the election, oh, we found some other emails that we're investigating that might be classified, or I can't remember what the exact issue was, but we've reopened an investigation into Hillary Clinton. And he did that right before the election, knowing that you can't help but have that affect people's view of a candidate. And in this case, it actually hurt Hillary Clinton. His point of view was, I can't not reveal that because it's a criminal investigation, and I'd already told Congress that I would make clear if there were any updates to that investigation. So he had put himself in a box. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means if you think Jim Comey is part of the deep state, he was actually hurting the person that, in theory, the deep state wanted to win right before the election. That would be the most incompetent conspiracy ever. The fact that some senior officials have political views, of course, everybody has political views. I got to tell you, though, Tommy, when I was working at the State Department and at the CIA, I worked side by side with people, sometimes 12, 16 hours a day fighting terrorists. I never knew if they were Democratic, Republican, socialist, conservative, liberal. It never came up. We were doing our jobs.
I always thought that when it comes to James Comey, he bungled a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I thought what he did before the election was clearly, and we were having this conversation yesterday about you have to be careful what you say before an election because you can't take it back, right? You don't have time for any, the candidate doesn't have time to recover, et cetera. And there is no doubt in my mind that that revelation by Comey, as close as it was, and people are going to go electoral college, I understand that, probably cost Hillary Clinton the election. That's not to demean Donald Trump in any way. I think it just goes to show, at least in my opinion, how inappropriate James Comey's actions were. And for people to say that he was working for the deep state to defeat Donald Trump, as you were saying, makes no sense to me at all, especially when you look at it, and we have to take a break here, in the light of the October surprise, right, or the November surprise. And y'all that don't know can look it up, and it means something that happens latent in a presidential campaign, again, where the other side doesn't have time to control it or explain it or what have you. David Priest is our guest, Chief Operating Officer of the Lawfare Institute, and a former intelligence officer, manager, and briefer at the CIA. He's got a new book out, How to Get Rid of a President, History's Guide to Removing Unpopular, Unable, or Unfit Chief Executives. And as it goes to the deep state, it would seem to me you would have to find a consensus of people that think the president is either unpopular, unable, or unfit, and that goes to everybody has opinions, and somebody's got to be the boss. Back in a moment, right now, it's time for WWL First News. For that, we go to, no, it's not either, time for traffic. Beg your pardon. We go to Joshua Dausch for that. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to David Priest, Chief Operating Officer of the Lawfare Institute, former intelligence officer, manager, and briefer at the CIA. He's got a new book out, How to Get Rid of a President, History's Guide to Removing Unpopular, Unable, or Unfit Chief Executives. So, David, you know, we're talking about intelligence professionals here. And I don't know that President Trump had any intelligence knowledge that any of us, any other of us not in government would have. Here's what I'm trying to say in my own clumsy way. I'm sure if any of us were elected president, we would have a hard time sleeping that night after what we learned from the different intelligence briefers. Do you think that's accurate?
I think that is accurate. The president's daily brief that every president has received for almost 60 years now is full of classified information about threats to the United States from around the world. And frankly, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of people who are in foreign countries like Russia, Iran, North Korea. There are a lot of people who are terrorists in Al-Qaeda and ISIS who want to harm America or even kill Americans. And this president's daily brief every day gives some of that information to the president of the United States, who has to make the decisions of how to go about it, how to work with our foreign allies, how to take action overseas to try to prevent these threats and make sure that our national security is protected. It's a very sobering document to get every day.
So there are intelligence officers, and David also wrote a book about the president's daily brief, and there are different filters, and there's a lot of information that has to be distilled down and down and down to what the president sees, and there are various steps along that way. But in terms of a deep state, I understand that there are intelligence officials. They give the information, and I'm sure not every intelligence official figures that the same thing should be handled the same way. It's distilled down, given to the president. If the president says something that they don't like or that they think is damaging the country, because, again, everybody can have different outlooks on what we don't know in terms of how it's going to play out, do they just let it go? Because I think sometimes people believe that a deep state is that they ignore what the president wants and they do what they think is best. But does that ever happen? Could that ever happen?
Yeah, I understand the point there. The difference with the intelligence side, Tommy, is that the job of intelligence to the president is not to argue for a specific policy or against a policy. Intelligence is to inform the president from a neutral, objective point of view. Here is our best picture of what's going on in the world. I mean, obviously, Russia doesn't want us to know, let's say, their next generation weapons systems. So part of the job of the intelligence community is to find out what Russia doesn't want us to know, which is what is their next generation weapons system and how could it threaten our weapons systems. That's not to recommend a policy. There's nothing in the intelligence document that says to the president, we suggest you do this about it. That's not what it's about. It's about giving him the picture that he needs to then consult with his advisors and decide what to do. Whether the intelligence officer agrees with the policy choice or not is frankly irrelevant, because that's not their place in the order. Now, that is the position of, let's say, a Secretary of State or a national security advisor. These are people that the president has put around him specifically specifically to get advice on these issues. And it's up to each president how much they want to listen to that advice or how much they don't. But they can argue the policy all they want. All the intelligence officers do is present the same information to all of those officials, because the president usually lets the Secretary of State, National Security Advisor, and about a dozen other top officials get the topmost intelligence. That way they all have the same picture, and they can advise the president based on the best information the United States government has. There's no lobbying that goes on in this process.
Thank you, David. I appreciate your time. David's got a new book out, How to Get Rid of President. He's not advising this happen to President Trump. He's just telling you how processes work. How to Get Rid of a President, History's Guide to Removing Unpopular, Unfit, or Unfit Chief Executives. His last name is spelled P-R-I-E-S-S, and you can find it at all the usual outlets. 7:31 time now, WWL First News. And for that, we go to Dave Cohen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.